There was a vain elf named Rory, who wanted to hog all the glory. He claimed with much noise that he made all the toys, but we know that wasn't the story. Not every Christmas poem tells the real story of Christmas, but many Christmas carols do attempt to illuminate some part of the greatest story ever told, the story of Jesus Christ. And that is why today we are starting our second annual sermon series, The Carols of Christmas. We will be exploring 6 Christmas carols this year, and you won't want to miss any of these. As always, there are 3 ways to participate. Come in person, participate via Zoom, or listen in later on the church website. If you join us either in the room or on Zoom, you also have the opportunity to play Pam's awesome Christmas Carol Bingo each Sunday from now until the end of the year. Today's Christmas carol, Shepherds Arise, came to us at least a century ago from Dorset, a ceremonial county in southwest England. And that's pretty much all we know about the origin of this carol, which might be new to many of us on this side of the Atlantic. Later on, we are going to sing this Christmas carol together, but for now, listen to the words. Shepherds, arise, be not afraid. With hasty steps, repair to David's city. Sing, all earth, with our blessed infant there. Sing, sing, all earth, eternal praises. Sing to our Redeemer and our Heavenly King. Laid in a manger, view the child, humility divine. Sweet innocence, how meek and mild, grace in his features shine. Sing, sing, all earth, eternal praises sing to our Redeemer and our Heavenly King. For us, the Savior came on earth. For us, his life he gave to save us from eternal death and to raise us from the grave. Sing, sing, all earth, eternal praises sing to our Redeemer and our Heavenly King. So you can hear the repeated chorus with its call to the earth to sing praises to our Redeemer and King. And this immediately, those words immediately bring to mind 2 prophetic passages written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. So the first prophetic passage is Psalm 96, 1 to 13. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered before all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is King. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. And the second prophetic passage is in Isaiah 44, 22 to 24. I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, shout, for the Lord has done it, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who by myself spread out the earth. It's always good to connect the dots, especially around Advent, which we're not quite in Advent, but we're doing this Christmas carol season in anticipation, connecting the dots that Jesus was born, yes, and it was prophesied many, many hundreds of years earlier in many places in the Old Testament. So our main passage today I've given you on here, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, which is one of the two main passages in the Gospels where we remember Jesus's birth, Jesus's advent. So starting with the first seven verses of Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, I want to pause here before we read the next section. I want to invite us to pay close attention to the words an angel is about to speak to some shepherds. So we're going to read on verses 8 to 12. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Imagine going about your ordinary routine when suddenly an angel of the Lord stands before you. Imagine the normal night sky. We just sang about night vision. These shepherds were out there keeping watch at night. Imagine the normal night sky suddenly being lit up when the glory of the Lord shone around you. This is what the shepherds experienced. And then the angel speaks. I love how Kyle's communion meditation talked about we serve God who speaks. Okay. There is a lot to unpack in the angel's words. And for those who are interested, it's actually just 37 words in the original Greek. One thing is for sure, the angel has just delivered some very important and joy-filled news, good news to these shepherds. A baby has been born, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Now, later, we realize that this baby is Jesus Christ and that he is some kind of king. So the angel provides the general location and some very specific details. Now, here's where things get interesting. We might have expected the angel to then say, "Go and look for the baby." And if we're not reading carefully, we might think that's actually what it says, but it doesn't. That is not what the angel says. The angel simply assures them that they will find. This is where the angel's words intersect with today's Christmas carol. Through the messenger angel's words, "You will find," God is calling the shepherds into action. "You will find" is both an assurance and an invitation. God has spoken. And now they are invited to bring all of their skills, expertise, creativity, personality into what happens next. God said, you will find. And now they get to figure out how they will go about finding. When God said, you will find, what they heard was, shepherds, arise. That's today's carol. You will find imparted to them assurance. It imparted to them, get up. I want you to do this with me. So the shepherds received confidence, courage, instructions, and a wide open space in which to respond to God's call. So the shepherds were assured and invited by the angel's words, you will find. They heard God say, shepherds, arise, calling them into action. And so they arose. Why? So that they could seek the infant of whom the angel spoke, who they knew was the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Let's read on verses 13 to 15 of Luke chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So the shepherds heard God, through the angel, speak to them good news of great joy for all the people. Now they see and hear with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. It's incredible that the shepherds were given this good news of great joy for all the people. And this is how they showed that they received this good news. They got moving. They gathered up all of their confidence, all of their courage, all of their instructions, and the wide open space in which to respond to God's call. So now we're going to read just a little bit more, Luke 2, verse 16. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. Now, as is so often the case, we lose some of the original language in translation. In English, we're told the shepherds went with haste, but it's not their physical speed that is significant here. The original Greek, elthan spoisantes, refers to eagerly awaiting with diligence and earnestness. With haste describes how the shepherds went about seeking. They sought with eagerness, with expectation, with diligence, and with earnestness that which the angel assured them that they would find. And what did they do when they found the child who had been born? Picking it up in verse 17 through 20. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So the angels brought the shepherds good news of great joy. They received that good news. They had been told that this good news was for not just them, but all the people. So now they did their part in making this good news known. And two significant things happened as a result of their telling of this good news. Firstly, all who heard it were amazed. And just as significantly, the shepherds themselves were transformed. They were no longer simply shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They had heard God's voice. Truly hearing God's voice is not a passive act, but an active, transformative process where we are changed to become more like God. The shepherds had received this good news of great joy. They could no longer unsee what they had seen or unhear what they had heard. So the transformed shepherds actually became the first witnesses of the newborn Savior, Messiah, Lord, King, Jesus Christ. They made this good news known, and now they glorified and praised God. Their lives would never be the same. Creator God created all of us in God's image. I don't think we'll ever be able to fully understand everything about what that means. I'm already imagining tomorrow when Kyle and Lucy welcome their little precious one, a bearer of God's image who's been hiding for all these months. When they see this precious one's face, they're going to see the face of God in some way. We don't understand it, but we're filled with wonder and joy, aren't we, when we stop to remember that. But we do know that God gave us bodies that can do things. God gave us minds that can think. God created us to be able to learn, discover, understand, and solve problems. God created us to be able to experiment, evaluate possible answers or solutions, to do trial and error. God created an orderly universe in which the cosmos operates under a set of consistent, understandable laws and principles. And this is precisely why we can do scientific inquiry, experimentation, and so forth. God includes us, all humanity, in God's good work on the earth, such that we actually become part of the good news if we say yes to God's invitation. God does not speak to us only so that we can be heralds who merely announce information. God speaks to us and invites us to get involved as a partner with God in both the magnificence and the messiness of life to bring about kingdom transformation. This is a very important principle in the kingdom of God. So the root word for this phrase I keep repeating, you will find in the original Greek, listen to it, heurisko. Sounds like one of our words. It's the same root for the word heuristic. I know we don't use it every day. I'm not going around the kitchen saying heuristic process or something, but you know, we've heard the word, right? Heuristic is actually an adjective describing an approach to problem solving, encouraging a person to learn, discover, understand, or solve problems independently, as by experimenting, evaluating possible answers or solutions, or by trial and error. This is so exciting. I think it's a thrill. We are not automatons. God did not make us as automatons who mechanically follow a predetermined set of instructions. How tragic it would be to view God's will as some kind of fixed pathway. There's no way that any of us, imperfect and limited as we are, could follow any pathway perfectly throughout the course of our lives. We would all be doomed to fail. Listen to this 2003 article from a satire website, Lark News. Man, 91, dies waiting for will of God. Tupelo. Walter Houston, I did not put this in for this reason. It just occurred to me. Walter Houston, described by family members as a devoted Christian, died Monday after waiting 70 years for God to give him clear direction about what to do with his life. He hung around the house and prayed a lot, but just never got that confirmation, his wife Ruby said. Sometimes he thought he heard God's voice, but then he wouldn't be sure and he'd start the process all over again. Houston, she says, never really figured out what his life was about, but felt content to pray continuously about what he might do for the Lord. Whenever he was about to take action, he would pull back because he didn't want to disappoint God or go against him in any way, Ruby says. He was very sensitive to always remain in God's will. That was primary to him. Friends say they liked Walter, though he seemed not to capitalize on his talents. Walter had a number of skills he never got around to using, says longtime friend Timothy Burns. He worked very well with wood and had a storyteller side to him too. I always told him, take a risk, try something new if you're not happy. But he was too afraid of letting the Lord down. Think about the shepherds that night. Imagine what would have happened, and more to the point, what would not have happened if they had taken Walter Houston's approach. So now we're going to pause and actually sing this carol. So just as God spoke to the shepherds, then we believe and we know that God continues to speak to us today. And God entrusts us with really important things, like showing and telling the good news of the kingdom of God. But in considering how we do that, remember that we are not robots programmed with inflexible instructions. We are each God's beloved children who are given inclusive invitations. God created each of us with minds to think and talents to develop and hearts to love. When God speaks, God also imparts to us assurances and invitations. God gives us confidence, courage, instructions, and a wide open space in which to respond to God's call. And then God calls us into action, always and in all ways. All the parts of us. Because we know love is not just a feeling, love acts. We are called to give our total allegiance to the Lord God, who is Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our King. And Jesus tells us how we are to give total allegiance to our Lord, Savior, Messiah, and King. I really love how Eugene Peterson rendered what Jesus said in response to a question from a religion scholar, which is most important of all the commandments. Jesus begins his response by directly quoting the traditional Jewish declaration of faith known as the Shema from Deuteronomy 4:6. And here's how it's rendered. And I put this on your handout in the Message interpretation. In Mark 12, 29 to 31, Jesus is answering. The first in importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. So to take Jesus' words seriously is to consider each of these ways in which Jesus told us to love and to put that love into action. So we can think, what would it look like for me, for you, for us to love God with all of our passion, with all of our heart? What would it look like for me, for you, for us to love God with all of our prayer, with all of our soul? What would it look like for me, for you, for us to love God with all of our intelligence, all of our mind? And what would it look like for me, for you, for us to love God with all of our energy, with all of our strength? And Jesus's second statement actually sheds light on this. It looks like loving others as well as we love ourselves. Loving God and people looks like what God spoke through Moses way back in Deuteronomy 10, 17 to 19. God, your God, is the God of all gods. He's the master of all masters, a God immense and powerful and awesome. He doesn't play favorites, takes no bribes. Make sure orphans and widows are treated fairly. takes loving care of foreigners by seeing that they get food and clothing. You must treat foreigners with the same loving care. And loving God and people looks like what James 1:27 describes as reaching out to the homeless and loveless in their plight. And finally, loving God and people looks like what Jesus described in Matthew 25, 35 and 36. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. Loving God and people looks like loving neighbors and nations, even enemies. So what is God calling you to today? Beloved, arise. Be not afraid. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with us. God is present right here, right now, to impart assurances and invitations. God wants to give each one of us confidence, courage, instructions, and a wide open space in which to respond to God's call. Come, Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that you invite us and you assure us to not be afraid, to arise and to go and do whatever you call us to. You are the source of all confidence, courage. Your word gives us life, and you welcome us into this wide open space in which we get to partner with you in speaking and showing and telling and demonstrating the good news of the kingdom of God. We thank you that you are with us, and we ask you for help because we need your help. We ask you to fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit today. And give us the grace and wisdom we need and everything else we need this week as we go out in your name to do, to be, to listen, to speak, whatever you give us. And it's for your glory that we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.